ends. The observation that in every age and climate ambition has prevailed with the same commanding energy may abate the surprise of a philosopher. But while he condemns the vanity, he may search the motive of this universal desire to obtain and hold the sceptre of dominion. To the greater part of the Byzantine series, we cannot reasonably ascribe the love of fame and of mankind. The virtue alone of John Comnenus was beneficent and pure. The most illustrious of the princes who precede or follow that respectable name have trod with some dexterity and vigour the crooked and bloody paths of a selfish policy. In scrutinizing the imperfect characters of Leo the Isaurian, Basil the First, and Alexius Comnenus, of Theophilus the Second Basil, and Manuel Comnenus, our esteem and censure are almost equally balanced, and the remainder of the imperial crowd could only desire and expect to be forgotten by posterity. Was personal happiness the aim and object of their ambition? I shall not descant on the vulgar topics of the misery of kings, but I may surely observe that their condition of all others is the most pregnant with fear and the least susceptible of hope. For these opposite passions, a larger scope was allowed in the revolutions of antiquity than in the smooth and solid temper of the modern world, which cannot easily repeat either the triumph of Alexander or the fall of Darius. But the peculiar infelicity of the Byzantine princes exposed them to domestic perils without affording any lively promise of foreign conquest. From the pinnacle of greatness, Andronicus was precipitated by a death more cruel and shameful than that of the vilest malefactor. But the most glorious of his predecessors had much more to dread from their subjects than to hope from their enemies. The army was licentious without spirit, the nation turbulent without freedom. The barbarians of the east and west pressed on the monarchy, and the loss of the provinces was terminated by the final servitude of the capital. The entire series of Roman emperors, from the first of the Caesars to the last of the Constantines, extends above 1,500 years, and the term of dominion, unbroken by foreign conquest, surpasses the measure of the ancient monarchies, the Assyrians or Medes, the successors of Cyrus, or those of Alexander.
The rise of Islam was to prove one of the fatal factors in the ultimate collapse of the Byzantine Empire. Paralleling the deleterious impact of the barbarian hordes upon the Roman Empire in the West. In about 668 AD, the disciples of Muhammad laid siege to Constantinople for several years, though these so-called Saracens were beaten back, repeatedly repulsed over six summers. A second siege took place in 716 AD, this time much shorter-lived. After just 13 months, the Saracens again retreated. But the march of the Saracens was unstoppable. From Arabia into Africa, thence to Spain, and from there into France, where they reached the very banks of the Loire, beaten back solely by the efforts of the Franks under Charles Martel the Hammer. By 827 AD, the Saracens were at the gates of Rome, plundering the tombs of St. Peter and St. Paul in the suburb of the Vatican. By the time Gibbon enters upon his sixth and final volume of this vast survey, he has reached the end of the 10th century, and the Crusades beckon. Jerusalem became the focus of the conflict between Islam and Christianity. Pilgrimages to the Holy Land had been stimulated by the conquest of Jerusalem by the Arabs. The tomb of Christ and a section of Jerusalem were in the hands of Christians, who were allowed to live and worship peacefully by their Arab rulers. But an obscure hermit from France, Peter, made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and on his return agitated for military action against the Saracen occupiers of the Holy Lands. Pope Urban II received this hermit as a prophet, and undertook to lead the conquest of the Holy Lands. Urban spoke at the Synod of Placentia in 1095 AD, invoking the Holy Spirit on behalf of a crusade to animate the devotion and courage of the champions of Christ. Said Urban, "His cross is the symbol of your salvation. Wear it, a red, bloody cross,